You may be seated. This week, we are beginning a three-week sermon series on the kingdom of God. And we're doing it by looking at some of Jesus' parables about the kingdom of God. And so this week, we're going to be talking about the parable of the sower. And in the following weeks, we'll be looking at parables about seeds. And in the third week, the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Have you ever taken one of those what type of blank are you quizzes? You know, the kind you would find in the back of a magazine or these days online. They'd be something like, what type of car would you be? What kind of animal are you? Or in the dating world, what's your ideal type? What kind of guy or girl are you? What's your best hairstyle? And so on and so forth. So today's parable makes me think of those kinds of quizzes, and I feel like the typical response to reading this parable is, what type of soil are you? As if you could take a 20-question quiz and get a definitive answer back. You scored 10 out of 20. Sorry, you're rocky soil. Try again. Or, ooh, ouch, 5 out of 10. Your seeds were eaten by birds. Better luck next time. Or 20 out of 20, perfect score. You're good soil, good job bearing good fruit for the kingdom of God. How would you score if you took a quiz like this? Keep that in the back of your mind because we'll return to it in a bit. So this parable begins a section on Jesus' teaching around what the kingdom of God is like. We'll be examining some of these parables, like I said, over the next 3 weeks as we discuss what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God and what our part in it is. Jesus tells this parable as a way to illustrate hearing and responding to the word. And so the soils represent how receptive we are to the word of God. That is, they represent the different levels of hearing and responding to God. One of the keys to understanding this parable is understanding the Isaiah 6 passage that's contained within it. And our Old Testament reading today was that very passage. Now, Jesus was a good Jewish rabbi, and he used the Old Testament, especially Isaiah, in many of his teachings. And so this parable is actually a midrash on Isaiah 6, 9 through 10. Now, a midrash is just a fancy Hebrew word for a commentary or exposition on the Hebrew scriptures. And so Jesus is explaining Isaiah 6 through this parable and making it relevant for his listeners. Parables are not unique to Jesus, although his are certainly the most famous. They were the language of Old Testament prophets. One way they've been described is as prophetic instruments meant to enlighten and instruct those who were listening. And they were often used when there was a message of judgment the people did not want to hear. And so essentially they're a means of communicating that God had, a message God had for God's people that God knew they would have a really hard time hearing. Poet Marianne Moore says, a parable is an imaginary garden with real toads in it. Sometimes we need to be deceived into the truth to be able to see ourselves more clearly. Now, the most famous Old Testament example of this is the prophet Nathan confronting David in 2 Samuel 12 after David sinned against God with his actions towards Bathsheba and Uriah. Now, had Nathan simply walked in and told David, you sinned against God, repent, David might have had Nathan banished or even executed. He was the king, after all, and he had just sinned gravely. No, instead, Nathan comes to David and tells him a parable about a rich man stealing a sheep from a poor man. David becomes engaged in the story and is enraged at the man's actions. And it's at that point that Nathan says, "You are the man." And David realizes his sin. This is what parables are often meant to produce. You are the man or woman moments. So Jesus often uses his parables as prophetic modes of communication. He's aligning himself with the Old Testament prophets and announcing both God's judgment and deliverance. So what is this Isaiah passage saying, and how is Jesus intending to use it? Is Isaiah saying that God makes it so people can't hear what God is saying? That doesn't seem right. The Isaiah passage should not be heard literally, but it should be heard forcefully. Isaiah is using hyperbole or over-exaggeration to demonstrate what has already taken place. The people have hardened their hearts against God. Isaiah is not saying that God intentionally hardens people's hearts and closes their ears so they can't hear. Isaiah is using over-exaggeration to point out that the people of God have already hardened their hearts and closed their ears. So why use this kind of over-exaggeration? In hopes that it will catch their attention and the people of God might finally hear what God is saying and obey. Jesus is using Isaiah 6 in the parable of the sower in the same fashion. Through his parable and his explanation of it later to the disciples in private, Jesus points out that the people of God have already stopped listening to God. They will not listen and repent. He's naming what's already happening, but challenging those who hear this parable not to stay there. There is still hope. You can listen and turn back to God. And that's the function of this parable, to invite people into the story so that they might have a "you are the man" moment despite their hardness of heart. And so this parable is about hearing and responding to God. The soils represent the different levels of response to God, but here is what's interesting. Jesus is redefining what it means to follow God. Because in his time, the first century, to be the people of God meant to be Jewish and to follow the rules. But even those who were supposed to be the people of God had hardened their heart to God. And that's why they were so put off when Jesus hung out with those people who were sinners. Those people didn't follow the rules, so how could they know God? But the truth is, many times those people, the outcasts, those on the outside, they were the ones who were hearing God, responding, repenting, and following Jesus. And so Jesus is redefining who's in and who's out. Those on the outside are no longer those who are not Jews or who are unclean or who don't follow the rules. Not that rules are bad. Those on the outside were no longer those that society had deemed the sinners. Those on the outside were now those who did not hear the message of God and respond. And those on the inside are those who hear Jesus and follow him. Let anyone with ears listen. Jesus is redefining what the kingdom of God looks like for a people who thought they knew exactly what it looks like. The kingdom of God is about hearing the word and responding to it. It is a kingdom of the word, capital W, meaning Jesus. The kingdom challenges our perceptions. The kingdom reorients our lives towards Jesus. The goal is always to be moving towards Jesus. And the kingdom is presently at work. God is sowing his word in people and his people in the world. This parable tells us what the kingdom of God looks like. The word is proclaimed, we hear the word, we respond to the word, and we do what the word has called us to do in the world. And so this brings us back to these four soils that represent the ways in which we hear or do not hear the word and respond. Remember the quiz I talked about in the beginning? Have you been thinking about it? Have you been assessing what kind of soil you are? How would you score? Are you good soil? Rocky soil? Are you full of thorns or birds? What if I told you you're all the soils? You see, if we read this parable and immediately identify with the good guys, the good soil, we've missed the point. We like to think we're always the good soil. Jesus' listeners might have thought they were always the good soil. Remember the Pharisee in Luke 18? I thank you, God, that I'm not like these other people. And if we read the parable and identify with the rocky soil and think, well, God can't use my soil, we've also missed the point. We'll talk more on this in 2 weeks when we look at the parable of the wheat and the weeds, but the point is, all four soils are present in our hearts from time to time. The question isn't, am I making sure I'm good enough soil? But rather, how might I till that rocky soil to produce good fruit? This parable is about hearing and responding. It's about inviting God to sow seeds in whatever soil there is. When is our hearing and response like good soil? And when is it not? What are the areas in which we are not hearing and responding to God? We all have rocks and birds and thorns from time to time that distort us from hearing the word of God. And so what rocks and birds and thorns are keeping us from hearing the word? You see, the point is that we are not always the good soil, and those on the outside are not always the bad soil. The disciples of Jesus themselves often had a difficult time hearing and receiving what Jesus was telling them. To be kingdom soil is not to always be the perfect soil, but rather to simply allow the sower to sow seeds in whatever kind of soil you have. And here is the good news. God is still sowing. Jesus doesn't look at your rocky soil and go, nope, not good enough. I'm moving on. God continues to sow in all soils, and that is really good news. What makes us good soil is that we invite Jesus to sow seeds in any of our soil, good, rocky, thorny, or otherwise. Too often, as one pastor pointed out, we make this parable the parable of the judgment of the soils, i.e. the parable of who's in and who's out. We make the focus the worthiness of the soil rather than the worthiness of the sower who extravagantly, lovingly, outrageously sows the word in all soils. This is the parable of the sower, not the parable of the soils. God is sowing seeds everywhere, even in places you think he's not, even if those places you think he's not are in you. This is good news, friends. Now, this doesn't free us from all responsibility as if we have no part to play. Jesus is still asking us to hear and respond to his word. And what I'm telling you is that that is possible even when our soil doesn't seem so good. Jesus can till that rocky soil. Jesus can open our eyes to the thorns that choke us. Jesus can shield us from those who would snatch us away. But we have to listen and respond to his calling. Jesus can cultivate any soil if we will let him. But we have to let him. Hearing is not enough. We must respond. You see, those seeds that fell on the path, the rocky soil or the thorny soil, they didn't produce anything because they didn't grow. Hearing that doesn't produce response, that doesn't produce fruit, is not really hearing. And this isn't, as Klein Snodgrass points out, a statement on eternal security, but rather a statement that true faith produces good fruit for the kingdom. Klein says this about this parable. People think that they can look like giant oaks without putting down deep roots. When they realize how much effort it takes to put down deep roots, they often settle for being bramble bushes. Friends, be an oak, not a bramble bush. Put down deep roots in Jesus and bear good fruit. But know, Jesus is the one that makes the tree grow. And hear this, if you're sitting there thinking, oh man, I've blown it. I'm not good soil. I'm not an oak. There's still time. Jesus can till any soil. If you've never heard the call of Jesus and responded to him, it's not too late. Hear and respond now. Ask him to be the soil you're planted in. And if you've just realized that you've never heard and responded to Jesus before, come talk to me or someone you know here, and we can walk through that with you. If you know Jesus, but you feel like you've been nothing but rocky soil lately, there is still time to hear and respond to the things that Jesus is calling you to do. The journey of faith is one of hearing and responding over and over and over. Inviting Jesus to bring life to those areas that have stopped growing. Have we hardened our soil, our hearts, in a way that we need to let God till them? Are we rooted in Jesus or in something else? How is Jesus calling us to hear the word and respond? And so this week, I want you to know this about the kingdom of God. The sower is at work, sowing seeds everywhere. Kingdom soil is simply soil that receives the word of God and lets it grow. Next week, we're going to look at how we can be a part of the work of God and our part in sowing the seeds of the sower. Let's pray together. Oh God, divine gardener, great sower, help us to be the kind of soil that hears your word and responds in obedience. Help us to be soil that cultivates your word and grows your kingdom. But when we are not, God, help us to hear you and invite you to till our rocky soil, to make us aware of the birds and thorns that keep us from hearing you and responding. Thank you for all the ways you are still sowing lavishly and lovingly in our hearts and in this world. Bring your kingdom now and in the world to come. Amen. Will you now join with me in singing our hymn of response? Number 367, I want to walk as a child of the light. Please stand.